Okay, is that okay? Okay, good. So my father was a cattleman, and he also was in the services, and he was away for the first 5 years of my life. I didn't know my dad, and I'm sure that that affected who I am as a person. You as fathers have a big task, and yet it's such a privilege, and just a privilege to be a father. There's something in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 that I'd like to share with you. First of all, Genesis 1 and 27 says, starting at 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In his image, he created him. Male and female created he them." And as you may look to the right or to the left and see your spouse, you have a shared image. That image comes from God. That's amazing, isn't it? That we have God's image stamped on us. Even though man strayed from God and sinned against God, still there is the image of God on man. There is the image of God on women. And in the family, gentlemen, we share a shared image of God. And a wife brings an image of God to a family that the wife cannot provide, and vice versa. So we have a shared image. And as we look into the scripture, it really helps us in our society. It helps us to understand who we are. It also helps us to be appreciative of what God has done. And of course, Genesis chapter 3 talks about the fall of man. But I'm going to have to kind of go fairly quickly. I found a description of the manhood of man, because the world is looking for men, real men. The world needs men who cannot be bought, whose word is their bond, who puts character above wealth, who are larger than their vocations, who do not hesitate to take chances, who will not lose their identity in a crowd, or if they're alone in a crowd, or away from their home, who will be honest in small things as well in great, who have integrity, who will make no compromise with wrong, whose ambitions are not confined to their own selfish desires, who will not say they do it because everybody else is doing it, who are true to their friends in adversity as well as in prosperity, who do not believe that shrewdness and cunning are the best quality of winning success, who are not ashamed to stand for the truth of God's word when it's not politically correct, who can say no with emphasis, although the rest of the world is saying yes. If you are that kind of a man, there's a great legacy ahead for you. If you are a man who has come to Jesus Christ's cross, his death that paid for your sins, and you have received eternal life, you have an amazing future to share. Unfortunately, my father, I can look back and say that my dad never went to church with us for at least 10 years. He was the last one to become a Christian in our home. And that was unfortunate because my dad had many good qualities. And on that note, I would like you to just think in your mind a couple of the really excellent qualities of your dad, even if he may have left this world. My dad was a man of his word. He said if you shook hands on a deal, if you didn't stick with that deal, your word wasn't worth anything. A handshake was enough to seal a deal. And my dad was a good disciplinarian, and I think he learned it in the 5 years that he was in the Air Force in the Second World War. So, men, we are looking for people that will mentor their lives after us. In one area of Africa, bull elephants were so hunted for their ivory at one time that they were almost extinct. There were no bull elephants left to lead the herds. The young teenage generation of young male elephants became wandering gangs, causing a lot of damage everywhere they went. And when the conservationists figured out the problem, they imported a number of bull elephants from another part of Africa. And when these elephants gangs stepped out of line, these huge bull elephants began to trumpet and flap their huge ears faster and faster. People from Africa understand elephants a lot better than me. And it was not long before everything was back to normal. You see, even the elephant world, in their world, there needs to be bigger, older, stronger, and wiser elephants for the young males to look up to. I thought that was worth looking at. And then I wanted to go through God's plan for reaching the human race. First of all, we find that in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." I believe that Adam failed at the tree where the serpent showed up. I don't think Adam said anything. He just was there. And the result was that he allowed his wife to be deceived. I don't think for a minute that Adam was deceived. And he followed Eve in the deception. And so sin passed upon the human race. But God had a plan. And in eternity past, he had chosen to put this plan in action. And in Genesis chapter 12, we find that God also chose out a man. His name was Abraham. Abraham was out one night, I think, and God spoke to him. And Abraham heard him. And what he said to Abraham was an amazing thing. He said, "I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your kin. I want you to leave your family and go to a country that I am calling you to. And Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1 and 2, we have the covenant that God made with Abraham. First of all, in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3, we have the call of Abraham. Then we have the covenant God made with Abraham. And he said to God, who's going to be my heir since I don't have any children? And God promised him a son. And then he tested it. He tested Abraham. And he went from the time he was 75 to 100 before God fulfilled that promise, until it was impossible for them, for Sarah and Abraham, to have a child. God tests us men. We need to realize that we have to wait upon God in our testings. The story wasn't over yet. And so when we find Abraham again in Genesis chapter 17, we have God's confidence in the man that he chose. And this is something, men and women, that we should take to heart. Genesis chapter 18. God speaking. He says, for I know him. Know who? I know Abraham. For I know him in order that he may command his children and his household after him. I should back up again a little bit. In verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great nation. He doesn't have a child. He has Ishmael, but he doesn't have his promised child. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that he will keep the way of the Lord. God had a plan. He chose a man. And before they had a child, he said, I know he's going to command his children after him. Men, are you willing to take that spot as a leader in your home? Men are called to be leaders, and they're called to be the lover in their home. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 gives us this snapshot. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. Is the church perfect and beautiful and without spot or anything gone wrong? No. Christ, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her. The Lord Jesus gave unconditionally to his bride, the church. The Lord Jesus gave sacrificially to his bride, the church. He gave his life. That's a high calling, man. And I have remembered times when I wasn't getting along really awfully well with my wife. We weren't, as the saying goes, we were not seeing eye to eye. And then I thought about this verse. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. It does a lot for us men. We're not really humble, usually. And so it's good to be humble lovers of our wives, because we share a marvelous gift as well. We share God's image. but we also share the grace of life. It is only through our wives that we can possibly have children. So we share the gift of life, the grace of life, as 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says. That's a marvelous gift. And I remember, too, when our first one was born, Heather, and looked at a little redheaded girl, as she was then and is still, and looked at little fingers and little toes, and it takes the breath of big men away. And we think, that is such a miracle. It's not about me. It's not about even my wife. It's about how marvelous God is. Husbands are to love their wives. We share the gift of life. Husbands are to be the the lover and the leader in the home, the priest and the protector, and the provider. We know that when just after this, Abraham is called on to be the priest. And he has a great care for his nephew, Lot. And he begins to make intercession. And he was praying that God would have mercy on the people in the plain of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he prays. We are to be the priests in our home. We are to be the protector. And we are to be the provider. And how that works out in every home is different. But still, when rubber meets the road, we men are to be the provider. Men are to not provoke their children to anger. But we are to raise our children or train them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So we need to know God's word and be walking with the Lord to do that. So God is calling on you men to be strong leaders in our home, to be gentle lovers in our home, to be the priest and protector and provider in our home. And that's pretty special, isn't it? But there's something else that's really special. Because in Proverbs 20 and 7, it says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. Get this. His children are blessed after him. God calls us to be his generational ambassadors. We are to be passers on of the baton of the grace of God and watch our children come to know the Lord. And we are really blessed in this church. We have men that do stand for God and have taken that gentle stand in their home. And we watch their children grow up. And even when our children aren't there yet, we can bring our children to God. Because after all, my dad was the last to come to faith in Christ in our home. Judy's dad was the last to come to faith in their home. And there's a statistic, I don't know where they got it, but they say that when a man is the leader and goes to church, 83% of his children will go to church and remain in church. And if only the woman has that responsibility, it drops to 29%. But I want to throw a monkey wrench into that percentage and statistic. My mom saw all of us come to know the Lord. Judy's mom saw all of us, her kids come to know the Lord and their husbands. And so, fathers, we have a great adventure ahead in being the man God wants us to be, because righteous men walking in their integrity, their children will follow after them. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Don't give up. If you have a child out there that's still, we talked about the prodigal son. Well, there's still prodigals that come home. And when you look at the prodigal son and his older brother, after it's all said and done, I think I chose the prodigal. I think he turned out the best. Okay, let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for families. Thank you for young men. Thank you for the children, the new children that are being born into this church. Lord, I thank you, you have a vision for this church. And we pray, Lord, that this church, this group of believers will carry your message to the ends of the earth, to the ones that you call them to. And Lord, what a wonderful journey we have before us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go home. I want you to read. I want you to read the call of Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. And watch his growth as a Christian, as a believer. Abraham believed God. It's counted to him for righteousness. But he didn't just come to the altar in Canaan. He came back to the altar. He didn't always walk as a man of faith. He failed. But God called him Father Abraham. And the father of not a nation, but other many nations. And the one that would bring blessing to all the families of the earth. And that happened through his son. And Jesus Christ was not only Son of Man, but the Son of God. And Jesus, a son of Abraham, has brought blessing to the whole world. So men, let's stand. We are in difficult days, but we can stand in God's strength.